You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
It's time now to look at some of today's biggest company stories. Delighted to say I've got Chris Bailey of financialorbit.com on the line. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hi there, Ed. Good afternoon to you.
Let's kick off with Sainsbury's. These, of course, are full-year profit numbers, down 8%, like-for-like sales down 0.6%, shares down 5% as well. What's your take on these numbers, Chris?
Oh, dearie me. I mean, it was all looking so good, wasn't it? If you look at the... obviously, Sainsbury's just bought Argos, and you look at when they've integrated an Argos store into a Sainsbury's store, sales have gone up, I think it's about between 20 and 30%. So things look great on that front. The trouble is, it's all happening in the time, in the context of a very, very difficult retail market. It's funny, actually, Kantar, which is a big sort of retail survey provider, they provided some new details on market shares today. And actually, Sainsbury's market share went up. So, you know, you've got this Argos deal bedding down quite well and sort of the benefits from that doing okay. You've got them taking some market share per an independent third party. But as you say, the trouble is profits are still down.
So why are profits down?
Because you and I and everybody else out there is unfortunately being much more savvy with their shopping. There's much more competition out there. Sainsbury's have to respond to not just the moves of the German discount names, the Aldis and the Lidls of this world, but also somebody like a Tesco's or a Morrison's who themselves are putting through their own turnaround plan.
It's lower prices, lower margins.
It's precisely. They're having to work harder in order to get hold of your shopping pounds, but also keep you in the store and keep you spending. The reality is there much Sainsbury's can do about this? Not really. Actually, I think the Argos deal was probably a sensible one, probably makes better use of their space. Over time, they'll be able to shut any remaining Argos stores and the like. But yeah, it's a tough old world out there, and today's share price fall reflects the fact that it's not an easy retail environment. Cash flow was good. You know, they're a sensible company, well managed, but unfortunately, that can only take you so far in today's world.
So do they need to open up more Argos's in Sainsbury's stores? I mean, does the opening of an Argos not only boost Argos sales, but does it boost sales in the rest of that Sainsbury's store as well?
Yeah, that's what they found, and it's quite interesting. I think the average spend uplifts between £6 and £8 for anybody that pops in to pick up perhaps something they've ordered online with Argos. And as they're in Sainsbury's, oh my goodness, why don't we buy this and that? That's what they're betting on. And it actually seems to work. The trouble is, Ed, they've got to go through this transitional phase of shutting down some of the old Argos stores, inevitable integration costs. I was looking at the numbers myself, and the trouble is you spend in order to save in the future, and that saving comes actually next decade a bit more.
Should they consider shutting some Sainsbury's stores as well, perhaps ones that aren't quite big enough to stick an Argos concession inside?
Yeah, I think every supermarket, every big supermarket's got that problem. I mean, ultimately, what's working best for all of them are the convenience stores, and Sainsbury's are finding that too. But the reality is, with leases and everything else, sometimes it's if you've committed yourself to a lease, if it's there, then actually it's economic just to carry on. But over time, are you going to see these big supermarket groups opening up these hypermarket-style stores? Absolutely not. That was yesterday's fashion. Today's fashion is convenience and online and related and kind of integrating your shopping, which is where having an Argos franchise in the store, among other ones, makes an awful lot of sense.
Okay, well, let's move on to ITV. The CEO, Adam Crozier, is stepping down after 7 years. Very modest fall in the share price as a result, down 0.76% at £2.09. Do you see this as bad news, Chris?
Well, I think it's first I must congratulate him. He's done an excellent job, created an awful lot of shareholder value. So good luck to him. I guess everyone's always got the opportunity to move on after they've, I think he's done 7 years as chief executive, so that's a very decent length of time. But of course, you've got the conspiracy rumours now coming in. Why is he leaving? Why is he leaving the business so quickly? End of June is not very far away. They haven't got a replacement. So if it was really well choreographed, then there would be somebody to come in as CEO. That the chairman is stepping up to become sort of executive chairman, i.e. to sort of have a chairman and chief executive type responsibility. It set the rumour mill off something chronic, because people are now wondering whether it's more or less likely ITV will be a takeover target. Obviously, much rumoured over recent years that their content business is very strong, their studios business is good, and obviously they've got the terrestrial channels as well, among other things. things. But I must admit, I'm perplexed by it slightly, and the fact there's no overt succession plan that's immediately coming into the fore, and as I say, the fact that he's leaving at the end of next month kind of tells me that, that there's something a bit more to this than meets the eye. And I wonder whether, and this is me purely speculating, I wonder whether he actually is unhappy with some of the direction of potential takeover partners, and whether he feels as if he wants that decision to come from other people and he doesn't want it to be on his watch.
Let's leave potential bids aside just for a second. Looking at ITV as a standalone business, you've got the free-to-air broadcasting, terrestrial channels, I guess, inevitably in decline. You've got the studios business making programmes for all sorts of people. Is the studios growing fast enough to sort of make up for the decline in the TV channels? Or overall, is this an inevitably a business in decline?
I think the reality is, and it's down to Mr. Crozier actually, predominantly, the studios business and the content business is actually big enough, particularly given some of the multiples people would pay for that sort of business and how they value it, to offset some of the fact that the terrestrial business is in inevitable decline, as you say, Ed. You know, obviously they're being clever with the terrestrial business. They're developing the online capability and the like. But the reality is all the future growth is in the studio content business. Actually, they've done a pretty good job there. And it is an area where there's still interest. You can see by the fact that, I remember this share was a quarter of this price just 8-9 years ago, and obviously there's a little bit of generalized market movement in that as well, but the fact is they've actually done a pretty good job, and Mr. Crozier's strategic sort of assistance on that should not be underestimated. So yeah, I think there's a future for ITV. Question is who with and under what leadership.
Absolutely. I should declare I own some shares in ITV myself. Let's go on to Marks & Spencer's. They've recruited the boss of Halfords, Jill McDonald. She's going to join Marks & Spencer's to run the non-food side of the business. Is this a good appointment, Chris?
Well, this is an interesting one, isn't it? You go from kind of bicycles and car parts to dealing with, yes, M&S clothing and beauty and related. For me, this is another insight into the ever-evolving world of Marks & Spencer leadership. Obviously, they shuffled the management just a couple of years ago, and clearly it was sensible that the current CEO, the new CEO, gave up some responsibilities, focused perhaps a little bit more on his efforts on the food side, and brought in somebody he perceived could run or help run that the clothing side, which has obviously been in almost perennial decline for many years now, a little bit better. I think it's an interesting appointment because my feeling is Jill McDonald actually has got unfinished business at Halfords, and I wasn't surprised to see Halfords shares down 3% earlier today because, frankly, it's a bit of a slap in the face for them. She had big plans to turn it around and make improvements, and clearly she's moved off at what appears to be the first possible opportunity. It clearly is a good job and a big job, but my goodness, it's a decent challenge. So I'm kind of not surprised to see both shares down. I'm afraid very much work in progress.
Okay, let's go on to Apple. They sold 50.8 million iPhones in the first quarter of this year, down 1% year on year. We seem to be getting this trend with Apple, don't we? They bring a new iPhone out and you get a big bump rise in sales, and then people sit on their hands and wait for the next model to come before they buy again. I mean, is this going to be a serious problem for Apple as potentially iPhone sales get more and more lumpy waiting for the next product launch?
Yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to use. That actually, lumpy is the way to think about it. And you know, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, he admitted that the pause, as he put it, in Apple iPhone sales, because people were getting very excited about the new launch, which is mooted for September. You know, this is what every company dealing with the consumer faces. Car companies are just the same. New products always sell better. That the reality is, though, Apple is evolving itself from being a company which sells devices into one which is, if you like, developing and extending its brand to involve services. And if you think about people's contract with Apple, you know, it's as much for data and other related matters as it is for a piece of hardware per se. So, you know, I think they can manage this, and it is sort of becoming a sort of a de facto luxury brand, really. So I think they've got the eye firmly on the ball here. Stock market analysts, of course, are a different beast in a different area, and I wasn't to price the Apple shares down yesterday, pretty modestly so after hours when the numbers came out, down 1% to 2%. You know, I think they're being called down around about 1% when the New York stock market opens in just over an hour. It's a fairly modest stuff. The shares trading very close to all-time highs. And, you know, everything else is kind of okay. Cash flow generation was good. They're returning more cash to shareholders, dividend up 10%. You know, there wasn't too much to complain about other than, unsurprisingly, people in various parts of the world were just postponing that next iPhone purchase until September comes along. So I'm sure many companies will say they'd love to have that problem, frankly.
Absolutely. I should declare again I own shares in Apple. Just quickly, Chris, Imperial Brands, the big tobacco giant, first half results, they're bumping up the dividend by 10%. Do you have more detail on that?
Yeah, no, interesting one, because obviously what we're seeing in the tobacco industry is lower sales. That was again apparent in the Imperial Brands numbers, but higher pricing, because the capability to push prices up and still get people to buy tobacco-based products. Bottom line is Imperial Brands are investing in their business, made a big acquisition in the States just over a year ago. That still seems to be working out, and that's offsetting some of the kind of decline in volume in places like Europe. Bottom line is they're confident about the future, dividend up another 10%, and even talking optimistically about developing things like e-vapor lines, which have been quite successful for some of the other tobacco companies. So net-net, shares pretty much unchanged. It's one that income lovers still like, and I have to say they're still doing a reasonable job. Whether I'd buy the shares here, I'm not sure. I think maybe I'd wait until it's a little bit lighter.
Chris,
and as for the product, I couldn't possibly comment.
Absolutely. Really good to speak to you again, Chris. As ever, that was Chris Bailey from Financial Orbit.com.